we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is Monday morning in beautiful Brevard County. So let me tell you, I've mentioned on last week's programs a little bit about California. Let me tell you a little bit about California. California was absolutely beautiful. We were in Anaheim. I did a lot of walking. It never rained on me the entire time that I was there. The temperature was relatively mild. And so you could go anywhere from needing a short sleeve shirt to actually one night I almost needed a jacket because the temperature had dropped so much. This is in Southern California, Anaheim. And I had one afternoon where we were in between an inspirational part of the conference and the business part of the conference started the next morning. We had an evening service, so I had a few hours. And so I found my way to the beach where they just had a surfing contest the week before or a couple of days before. They were still tearing down the grandstands. And the beach was, I mean, the sand looked just like our sand here on Cocoa Beach. The beach was drastically larger. I mean, significantly larger than what our beach was. And then I got into the water up to my knees. I was by myself, so all I was doing, I called my wife. We took a walk on Huntington Beach with, a cell phone call, and the water was freezing. And I tell you, I said, get me back to Florida. Get me back to Florida. So I'm glad to be in Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. You're listening to the Refresh Radio broadcast. And today we want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric for keeping the people of Brevard County cool. And we are so grateful because they keep those AC units up and running. Air conditioning is one of the things that makes Florida possible. And so we're very thankful, and I want to give you their phone number so you can get in touch with them. If you do not have an AC repairman or you are displeased with your current AC repairman, what I'd like you to do is write this number down, whether you need current repairs or not, because one day you are going to need an AC guy. I can pretty much guarantee it. And the number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. Give them a call, and they can schedule you a time when they can come out, take a look at your situation, give you the best solution, and get you back to that level of cool. And so 321-632-9538. So I'm going to be preaching this week. I mentioned to you earlier in the month that I was going to be preaching on In Pursuit of Greatness. I'm going to begin that series on the second Sunday in September. I thought I was going to start it in the month of June. This coming Sunday, I'm going to be preaching the last in a little three-part mini-series on back to school. We have been talking about Jesus, our teacher. And then 2 weeks ago, I was preaching on teach us to number our days so that we may gain a heart of wisdom out of Psalm 90. And I pray that you will not squander the day that you have been given, but you will be found a faithful steward. Today is the day of salvation. It is the day to rejoice. It is the day of visitation. We don't want to miss that. It is the day of harvest. It is the day that God wants us to live in the fullness of his presence, experience his glory, his beauty, and demonstrate that he is at work in our life. And so we want to continue with that study this week. I encourage you not to miss it. What I'm going to be sharing this Sunday is absolutely vital and critical for every church in Brevard County. And so with that being said, I want to invite you to come out Sunday morning at 10:30. We have Sunday night service that week at 6:30 as well. And this coming Sunday, we've got a special activity planned, and that is that there's going to be a little quiz off between our children's ministry and myself to see who understands, who's able to answer the junior Bible quiz questions quicker and faster. They've been practicing for weeks, and so they wanted to quiz the pastor. And my wife said, "Now I need to tell you, he wasn't a quizzer, but he did coach our Bible quiz team." And so and I promise you that if they beat me, they will have earned the victory, because I didn't let my kids win at anything. They beat me at if they won, it was because they beat me, not because I let them. So that's coming up Sunday morning before the message. And so we're going to have a great time. We encourage you to come out and be a part of that as we look to for God to teach us more as we continue our spiritual education with him. So second Sunday in September, come and be a part of what God is doing as we pursue greatness in the kingdom of God. I want to take you today. I'm going to take you to two passages of scripture. We're going to be in 2 Samuel chapter 12. We're discussing the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And we're going to be talking about how God took a horrible situation, a negative situation, an egregious situation, where there was much pain, suffering, humiliation. It sowed seeds into David's life that was a harvest he didn't want, and paid a very high price for it. Wreaked havoc in his home on many, many levels. And then God showed up and did something beautiful, made something beautiful out of a mess. You know, when God first spoke to me about marrying my wife, I wasn't praying for a wife. I was literally praying for her sister to get saved. She was going through some real spiritual issues at the time, and I was praying for her salvation, and God interrupted my prayer to speak something into my life. And he said, "I'm going to take the two threads of your life, and I'm going to weave them together into something beautiful, more beautiful than you could ever be on your own." And so now you know a little bit about how Cindy and I came together. God gave her a word about me, gave me a word about her, and that was before we ever even let the other one know that that we had some interest in them. God is very good. He puts pieces together very well. He is able to take something that's ordinary and make something extraordinary out of it. And so I want to ask you to trust God with your past, your present, and your future, not just in your spiritual condition, but trust him with your finances, trust him with your relationships, trust him, and watch what beauty he works in your life. So let me take you to 2 Samuel chapter 12. And this is, I'm going to read a little bit here, not too much. This is after David's son with Bathsheba dies. And in verse number 24, it says, "Then David comforted Bathsheba, his wife, and went in to her and lay with her. So she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon." Okay. Solomon is a word that is derived, it means, it has connotations that tie it in with the word peace. Okay. He called his name Solomon. And then it says this: "Now the Lord loved him, and he sent word by the hand of Nathan the prophet." So he called his name Jedidiah because of the Lord. And Jedidiah is a name that means loved of the Lord. Now, in all of my dealings with people from all sorts of different states, different walks of life, I have only heard the name Jedediah two other times besides this here. The first time was when I was watching the Beverly Hillbillies, and Granny would call him Jedediah from time to time. We simply referred to him most of the time as Jed Clampett. By the way, I saw that the mansion that they used to film that, it was actually up for sale for a mere $350 million recently. I'm sure that you can just get that out of petty cash and take care of it. $350 million, that's not too bad for some hillbillies. And so that was the only time I knew Jedediah. Another time I was trying to negotiate with a businessman out of Ohio, and he was not responding to me in a favorable manner. And I was so tempted to mention to him that his name, Jedediah, and I do remember from the conversation that his grandmother was ill at the time. And I said, well, I'm going to be praying for your grandmother and her healing. And that was the only conversation we ever had. So I don't know whatever happened to that. But I wanted to tell this guy, as he was telling me that they couldn't do business with churches, I wanted to tell him, do you know what your name means? Do you know the meaning of your name? Jedediah means loved by the Lord. We know him as Solomon, but Nathan the prophet was instructed by God to call him Jedediah. And so I can see all sorts of different references and different nicknames for Solomon, and Nathan comes in, and every time he looks at him, he says, your name's Jedediah. Now, we're talking about the fruit of peace here today, so I want you to remember that. Now, we're going to go over to 1 Chronicles chapter 22. Friday, we were talking about the threats to peace, and now, today, I want to look at some of the characteristics of what peace would look like in our life. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, verse number 6. Let's drop up to verse number 5. No, let's go to verse number 1. See how prepared I am there? My daughter makes fun of me because I do that Sunday morning after she's made the slides even. Then David said, verse number 1, this is the house of the Lord God, and this is the altar of burnt offering for Israel. So David commanded to gather the aliens who were in the land of Israel, and he appointed masons to cut hewn stones to build the house of God. And David prepared iron in abundance for the nails of the doors of the gates and for joints, and bronze in abundance beyond measure, and cedar trees in abundance. For the Sidonians and those from Tyre brought much cedar wood to David. Now David said, Solomon, my son, is young and inexperienced, and the house to be built for the Lord must be exceedingly magnificent, famous, and glorious throughout all countries. I will now make preparation for it. So David made abundant preparations before his death. Then he called for his son Solomon and charged him to build a house for the Lord God of Israel. And David said to Solomon, my son, as for me, it was in my mind to build a house to the name of the Lord, but the word of the Lord came to me, saying, you have shed much blood and have made great wars. You shall not build a house for my name, because you have shed much blood on earth in my sight. Behold, a son shall be born to you who shall be a man of rest, and I will give him rest from all his enemies all around. His name shall be Solomon, for I will give peace and quietness to Israel in his days. He shall build a house for my name, and he shall be my son, and I will be his father, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper. Remember, that is an element of shalom. And build the house of the Lord your God as he has said to you. Only may the Lord give you wisdom and understanding and give you charge concerning Israel, that you may keep the law of the Lord your God. Then you will prosper if you take care to fulfill the statutes and judgments with which the Lord charged Moses concerning Israel. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear, nor be dismayed. Indeed, I have taken much trouble to prepare for the house of the Lord 100,000 talents of gold and 1,000,000 talents of silver and bronze and iron beyond measure, for it is so abundant. I have prepared timber and stone also, and you may add to them. Moreover, there are workmen with you in abundance, woodsmen and stone cutters and all types of skillful men for every kind of work of gold and silver and bronze and iron. There is no limit. Arise and begin working, and the Lord be with you. So, let's look a little bit at what a man of peace looks like. He looks like a person who's loved by God. You know, I can tell you that I have found myself throughout a few decades of ministry in some pretty uncomfortable positions at times. There was a saying that I heard once, I don't know who said it, but you can please some of the people some of the time, but you can't please all of the people all of the time. And there are some of the people that you're not going to be able to please any of the time. And I found that trying to live in a manner in which you appease people is a surefire way to deny yourself the peace that we're looking for. But when I found myself in those uncomfortable situations and I realized that I was loved by God, even if people didn't like me, if people didn't love me, then I was okay, because I knew that at least God loved me. And I'm very, very thankful to be loved by God. I've got a wonderful family. I'm loved by my family. I'm grateful for the love that has been shown to me. So Solomon knew that he was loved by God, but he was also a man of peace. And David was denied the privilege of building something that he wanted to build, because he was constantly at war. He had shed much blood. He knew how to wage war. He knew how to win battles. And God said, I'm going to leave this project for your son to build. Now I want to tell you this about David. When God told him no to building the temple, David turned that no into as close as a yes as he could get. David drew up the plans. David prayed and heard from God about the details, the design, the architecture, how much the furniture was going to weigh, the silverware was going to weigh, the goldware was going to weigh. He had everything. And then he began to accumulate the materials and put the laborers in place, so that when Solomon came to the place where it was time for him to build, everything was in place for it to be done without confusion, without conflict or chaos. I tell you, that's what I want. If God tells me, hey, you know what? The promise that I, the thing that I've birthed in your heart, I want you to take that. I want you to put all of the details in place. You may not get to participate in it, but I'm going to make it as easy as possible for the person coming along behind you, that they're going to be able to succeed. You see, I believe that God sets people up to succeed. And David was just as excited about amassing the materials and the workers and the finances to get the house built. He may have been more excited about it than Solomon was. And so David was told he couldn't, and he said, you know what? This house is going to have a reputation. In all honesty, I like to build things that are functional. I've done a little bit of, updating buildings and things like that. And I'm into function, and then we worry about making it beautiful. Listen to the house that David charged Solomon to build. This house is to be built for the Lord. Merit Assembly of God is not about Bob Arthurs. It is about Jesus Christ. and his ability to transform lives. If you want peace, build something for the glory of God. If you want turmoil, build it for your glory, because then you're going to have to defend it. If God births it, God will get the glory, and he will make it happen through moving the hearts of people. He said, the house must be built for the Lord. It must be exceedingly magnificent. In other words, David was saying, I'm not going to give God my leftovers. I am going to give him my very best. I want it to be famous and glorious throughout all countries. One of the reasons that we have a missions program that touches 55 plus different missionaries and mission works is because we want to make Jesus famous throughout the world. And I just heard a statistic while I was at General Council. I might not get it right, but I believe that on an annual basis now we are seeing in the assemblies of God people making decisions for Jesus Christ that are equivalent to every minute of every day, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of a year. That's how many people around the globe are accepting Jesus Christ and giving him their best. You know what? If you didn't get saved until last week, you can't go back and do any and undo something, or, you know, say, you know what, God, I want to give you my best from 10 years ago. But what you can say is, God, I want to give you my best from here on out. I want to just challenge the listeners today to elevate our offering to God of our heart, of our lives, of our resources, and say, God, I'm tired of giving you my leftovers. I want to give you my best because I want to build a house for you that is glorious. Go. I'm about to run out of time here. So Solomon is told that God had prevented David from building it. And he said, but you are going to be a man of rest. God has promised that he would give you rest. He would give you peace. He would give you peace from enemies all around you. Doesn't that sound glorious? What would you be able to do? What would you be able to build if you weren't having to constantly deal with enemies attacking you from every front? You know, I like to play a game called Risk every once in a while. I'm not addicted to it, but I play it. It makes me think of strategies. And what I do is I find a place that is defensible, that I can find myself strengthened in, and so that I can go and I can impact that game's world, if you will. And I want to ask you today, if you knew that God had given you a defensible position because he was a cloud that goes before you, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night, if you knew that he had you hemmed in by his own presence in front and behind, to the right and the left, to the top and the bottom, if you knew that he was working as your sanctuary and your refuge physically, spiritually, financially, and relationally, what could you build if there weren't so many things to fight? And so Solomon was given rest, and God said, for I will give peace and quietness in his days. He shall build a house for my name. And he goes on and he says, now, my son, may the Lord be with you, and may you prosper and build the house of God. Anything that God does that causes you to have abundance. It says that there was so much material wealth in Solomon's day that silver was treated as common as rocks. I want you to think about that. You throw silver down on the ground out there and see how fast people will go over and pick it up. And in Solomon's day, there was so much prosperity that people failed to have an appreciation for what we would consider things of great value. They valued gold. They didn't value silver. What was it that brought such a negative impact? Now, remember, Solomon was supposed to have peace, And David told him that he would prosper as long as he walked in obedience to the statutes and the commands of God. There would be peace. There would be prosperity. There would be wholeness that would touch not only him, but it would touch his kingdom as long as he walked in obedience. So I want to challenge you today. If you are at one with God, if you know that you have been brought to this point in your life for such a time as this, allow the fruit of the Spirit, which is supernatural peace, to bring you rest. I'll be honest with you. I don't like conflict. I don't like fighting at all. I like peace and harmony. I like adventure, but I don't like drama. I think that soap operas, you know, when those things were so popular when I was growing up, I was thinking, why in the world would anybody waste your time watching this? Everybody's got drama in their own family. And I realized that people were watching that so that they would feel better about their own situation because those families on televisions were so messed up. And then they brought that from the daytime to the nighttime. And now dealing in fantasy is not enough. It went from Jerry Springer until now there's reality contests where there's all sorts of melodrama and all that sort of stuff. Can I tell you, there's a better way, and it's called peace with the living God, walking in obedience, knowing that I have a purpose, that there were people who fought so that I could experience peace. Jesus went to the cross and waged spiritual warfare so that you and I could experience peace and harmony with God. Let's not blow it by walking in disobedience to the Word of God. There are many people who think that they want to embrace the blessing parts. They want to embrace the peace, the love, the joy parts of the Word of God. But then when there is a demand from God that says, this is the way my kids behave, then all of a sudden they don't want to have anything to do with that. And I want you to know that if you reject God's commands, you will find that your peace and your prosperity will soon disappear as well. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commands, not because they're burdensome, not because they're have-tos, but because God is pleased when we walk the way that he wants us to walk. May you have a day of peace and rest and quietness in your soul, and we will see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio broadcast. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, tell my praise to you.